Okay, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
So we just want to be very thankful for today that we can gather together. And God always moves in certain arenas.
Ang Diyos kuno nagapanlihok sa matagtaliwala.
And he gives his messages or his word according to the needs of those that are present.
O siya nagapanghatag sa iyang mga pulong ngadto sa gikinahanglan gayud sa presente nga pagpanginahanglan.
So our time here today with the meetings this morning and this afternoon is a word that is being given to the elders of the church.
Ang ilang pagganim ang paghatag o pagkaon para sa gikinahanglan sa mga elders sa buntag o sa hapon sa.
It's not given to unbelievers, it's not given to those that are just new to the kingdom of God, but to those who God has put in their heart a desire to serve Him and a desire to fulfill how would I want to say it? To fulfill the plan of God in the divine order of God.
Wala kini mao mga pulong nga gipanghatag atong mga tawo nga walay kalabutan sa iyang gingharian, kun dili nga to lamang sa mga tawo nga anasing gingharian aron maandam kini sa pagpadayag unya sa katapusang mga Adlaw.
And what I mean by that is God is wanting to teach His church what divine order is.
Ang buto sa buot ni ana sa Dios nga gusto siyang mutudlo sa mga katawhan aron nga o sa insakto kini pagpanudlo aron sa pag makakat-on sila ni ini mao mga butangan.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good
morning, Brother Nelson. Praise the Lord. Brother Lito. Praise the Lord. We are just starting to share the word this morning. And there are things God has placed on my heart this morning to impart unto you.
Mauni ilang gibuhaton karon nga mutudlo sa mao mga pulong ni kabuntagon.
And that is that God is wanting to instruct all of us, including Brother Mark and myself. What is the responsibility we as elders in the church to give us an understanding of what the Spirit is doing in this hour? That we ourselves can escape the religious system. You know, the Bible teaches us to come out of that place of Babylon or a place of mixture. And the Bible teaches us that God hates a mixture.
Nagkasumpakit ng mga pagtulungan.
Mixture is a little bit of good and a little bit of bad.
Kaya sa'yo na ay sagol nga mayong gamay, dautan po gamay.
And that's how the devil is able to bring deception to the church.
Bawa na nga ang demonyo maghahatag o kita nga nagasunod yan na maghahatag yun sa demonyo o kay gayunan aron nga sa pagyagaw ni anak.
He takes a little bit of truth but he mixes it with a lie. Do you know in the States, and I think you probably have it here in the Philippines, we have what you call rat or mice poison? It's not 100% poison, but it's like 95% food mixed with 5% poison. So they mix cornmeal with poison. It gets the rats to eat the cornmeal, but they die because of the poisons that's in it. And that's the way the devil has also worked in the church. The devil decided he couldn't beat the church, so he decided to join the church. And when you look at the history of the church, when you read your word in the scriptures, John the Apostle John in the epistles of John said,
kung imong basahon di ang Biblia nga ang mga libro nga gisulat ni Apostolic Juan o ang mga epistle o mga epistolo ni Juan,
that the Antichrist was already working in their midst within 30 years that Christ had come to the people of God.
Na ang Antikristo kuno wala nagapanglihok na 30 anyos ang gikan kanhan to sa 30 anyos.
That's why the Apostle John exhorted the brethren to try the spirits whether they be of God or not.
Mauna nga si Apostol Juan nag-hiskop kay may tungod sa mga magtuto bahin ni ana nga maong espiritu.
Now, how do we rise above so that we escape the deception of the devil?
Now, unsa may tong buhaton aron higawas kita gikan ni ana nga maong
Do you know how we do that? Brother Rudy, Brother John, do you know how we do that? We get the devil outside of ourselves. You know, there's a scripture, one of my favorite scriptures is in the book of the Philippians. It says that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So that means that the day of my salvation, which was approximately 33 years ago, what's the date today? The 29th? 33 years ago, 2 days ago, on June 27th, was when God came to my house and revealed himself to me that I became born again. I was 27 years old, not knowing anything of God except for what Roman Catholicism taught me. Yeah, God in His mercy brought a man to bring the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, that God was something more than in statues and in churches and someone who was far away. But that the living God of all the universe could come and minister and come to me personally. You know, God had to work overtime with me because I was so dense or so void of understanding of the reality of God. But when he came to me that day, my life was forever changed. God became real to me. I mean, real. As real as this thumb is to my body. It broke every religious thought I had in 27 years. And then when God had come to me, when I began to read this word, it became living words to me. Life. Jumping off the print of this page and into my heart. But then God also did something special for me. Because within 3 months, 2 months, I went from being part of the Roman Catholic Church, meeting, being born again and meeting born again believers, and born again believers who were really had Christ in their hearts, but yet they were in various denominations or sects of the so-called Christian church. And they were wonderful people. We met Baptists.
Nakatagbo po sa mga taga-Baptist.
We met faith people, people that were non-denomination and believed in the faith movement.
Natagbo niya nga dahil lang sa pagtuo magpumikat.
Assembly of God people.
Naapo yung sama niya, Assembly of God.
You know, and they were wonderful people, and we began to interact with them. But yet, there was something that God began to work in the midst of it all that I could not find a place of identity or peace with those type of environment. Yes, true rest. You know, Rudy, I ought to tell you sometime my experience with the Assembly of God Church.
I know,
my experience with the Assembly of God Church was about 4 weeks.
And we
met wonderful people there. People that love God. And it also was a step up from the Baptists because they believed in the gifts of the Spirit. And so there was a certain amount of life there. But the Lord started to show us that there was a system that was set up there that was similar to the Catholic Church. You know, they believe in the pastor and I think to a certain degree the prophet and the teacher. More of the teacher. Because I went and you know they would bring in their ministers and begin to teach, you know.
They
have their colleges and they have their whole organization. But yet, you know, God in His mercy, I didn't know nothing, but God had a plan for my life that I was unaware of. And so we met these wonderful brethren, but one day God sends to us some brethren that were into the message, or I should say were involved with the message of the kingdom of God. And they came to our little Bible study and they began just to share what God had been speaking to them. And I could sense a difference. They began to teach truths out of the Old Testament about the tabernacle. And that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost and God wanted to dwell within us. My eyes began to get more open that God had a people out of the midst of a people that was bringing forth the truth in this hour that the church had no idea of. And when I began to see it and began to share it with other people in the Assembly God Church and people who we met, I saw hell rise up in an anger towards these end time people. Oh yes. And they warned me, be careful of these brethren, they walk in false doctrine. As a young Christian, I was only 2 or 3 months old in the Lord. I was in a great quandary, dilemma.
Dilemma, yeah.
Because here I respected these brethren. They were my brothers from the Assembly of God Church. They were brethren from the different various groups. But yet, they rose up in an anger and a a vileness towards these other brethren. I said, how can this be?
So mo lang dahil ako niya pagkalimbong itong panahon na kay na may mga tao na nakauyo na po yung mga tao ni Subpataya.
And this brother says, oh, they're wrong doctrines. You will be deceived if you listen to what they say. And I went to God and I said, God, what do I do? It'd be like me knowing all you, and some of the brethren were moving in a certain way and others were moving in another way. I said, Lord, where is the truth? And the Lord said, go to these brethren and talk to them. These brethren of the end time, that they were being accused of having false doctrines and misleading and bringing deception to the church. And I did, and it set me free from that. Do you know one of the accusations against the end time people? Because they were preaching about perfection. They were sharing that you can be perfect as you walk with God.
And
you know that the vast majority of the so-called true church does not believe that. And that is what I want to speak with you this morning that God has laid upon my heart. When we were, the first time I went to India was in the year 1990, so that was what, 23 years ago? You know, believe me, brethren, when I was a young man, I never thought I'd be in the Philippines preaching the Word of God. I never thought I'd be in India or Africa or Eastern Europe preaching the Word of God. In fact, as a young man, you couldn't get me up to a podium. I was afraid to look at men's faces. As a young Christian, I would just shake if I had to even get up or even the thought of speaking. I was so nervous just to get up and say, hello, God bless you, my name's George Harry. But God take someone. I had no desire to be an elder or I just wanted God. You understand? And I believe that if our motivation is just to want God, then it's God that determines what He wants to put in you and what He desires to do in you. So we went to India as a young man. It was 1990. I was 37 years old then when I began to go out. And really, I was going not as a minister, but to be of a support to the ministry that was going out. I met Brother Mark, I think it was 1987 was the first conference you were at, wasn't it, Mark, in Illinois, somewhere in there?
Was it that long ago?
Yes, it was. I think it was 87, somewhere in there. 1987 was the first time I met Brother Mark. I met Brother Bird in 1982, when I also met Brother Duciel, who wrote The Pattern and the other books, in 1981. A year after I came to know Jesus. But there was something of a blessing, I believe, was a great blessing in my life. For some reason, God worked in my life that time schedule. That I wasn't tainted with the false doctrines that are in the church. I didn't believe in the rapture. I didn't believe in the pastor system because I was not under that thought pattern. You got to remember, I was a Roman Catholic that did, and I wasn't a very good Roman Catholic at that. So God had to bring me, and then He began to teach me through what is the true divine order in the Word of God. That God has set a fivefold ministry in the earth for the ministry. For the perfecting of the church. I'm talking Ephesians chapter 4. He has set in the church apostle. He has set. Set. God has set, not man. You know, any man that sets himself up is not being set up by the Spirit of God. It says that God has set in the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the shepherd. Pastor is a Latin word, and it has not been God oriented. You know, the Word of God is really so very simple. I mean, God makes this word so simple, but yet so profound. In God's church, there's no hierarchy. Because the Bible teaches there's only one mediator between God and man, all of us, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Brother Mark and myself come to the Philippines. We are not over you. There is no hierarchy in the true church of God. You know, God never made a pope. He never made a bishop. Never made cardinal. Pope, cardinal, archbishop, bishop. Monsignor, pastor, priest, laity. God did not. In fact, what is it in Matthew? Is it 23 where God said about not being master over your brethren? Matthew 20.
Right.
He said, if we want to be great in God's kingdom, we need to be servants and slaves. Not someone that puts themselves up as a pastor or someone that is over the people. And so you and I have to strive to break that religious thought pattern. That the devil has sowed into the hearts and in the doctrines of even the true Christian church. Now I believe that God is opening the hearts and the ears of people to hear the truth. And as we are here today as elders,
sa mga karong ining adlaw, ingon nga mga elder o mga
I believe God wants to touch each of our hearts today. Because you know, Jesus spoke to his disciples, he talked to the people, he says the heart of man is desperately, is it desperately?
Yes.
Wicked. And none of us know the depths of the darkness that still lives within us. Because in order for us to serve God, all of us, we have to realize that first that Christ must cleanse our temples. The degree of success of your walk in God and whatever responsibility God gives you is dependent on the sanctification and consecration of your personal life before God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Brother Lito, you have a wife and a family, right?
Yes.
Okay, Brother Lito has a wife and a family. He has a responsibility as a father, doesn't he? He has a responsibility as a husband to take care of your wife and your children, is that right? Now, in the church, we have the divine order in the church is twofold. The first thing we talked of earlier, God has set the fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the church. And that fivefold ministry, which is sent of God, is sent to the corporate church. But how does that fivefold ministry come to a place of maturity? But first, they must be found faithful when they first begin to come into God and to submit to authority of the Spirit and of God's divine order in order to grow and mature. So I'm sharing with you what the biblical scripture is for divine order in the church with the fivefold ministry. And the other divine order in the church is in the local church. Where God institutes in the New Testament church the plurality of elders. And when I talk about a plurality of elders or a calling or a it's a responsibility and not an office.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a position or an office or a hierarchy. It's a job description. Just like a natural father has a responsibility to his wife and children, God gives responsibilities to those who have been dedicated to a certain degree to be an elder.
Ang Dios nagahatag og usa ka dakong responsibilidad alang niadtong usa ka tawo nga aduna gayoy kasingkasing moalagad gayoy.
Now I'll just share a couple little experiences in our local church when we were young in the Lord.
Og nagahapon sa kasingati ang bahay ini sa usa ka simbahan din sa siya batan-on pa.
God began to put us together, those who were like-minded, those that were hearing the same thing in the Spirit.
Iyosa sa Dios nga sa mga tawo nga aduna isa lamang ka tinguha og usa ka espiritu.
And God was faithful to bring ministry to our local fellowship in Dubuque, who saw that the Spirit of God was moving with the people and began to teach us about divine order in the church. In fact, God used Brother Duseo when I first met in 1981 to come to Dubuque, my home city, in 1982.
1981, gigamit si Brother Dusin dito sa ilang dapit o bisan pa nga sa ilang balay sa tuig 1982.
And he told us that the next time he came, he wanted to ordain elders for that local fellowship.
Iyang ipahimutan ang maong mga elder o mga pagpangulo.
It's a long story. I won't go into the various things, but there was a misunderstanding with one of the elders there that thought women should be elders.
Taas naman kayo gipang saysayon pa, pero iya lang na matikdan dito na doon ay pagkasumpati sa diyang asa naman ang babae mo ng elder.
According to the Word of God, only men should be elders. But again, we want to break the mindset that is in different cultures of nations. And sister, you will like this. My sister, you will like this. because a woman cannot be an elder does not mean that she can rise up into the heavens with God. Because God gives a responsibility to an elder, He gives responsibility to women. And the word, there's a covering, yes. There's a divine order in the home. You cannot have two heads in a home. You have a two-headed monster. So if the husband is the head of the home, and the head of the husband is Christ, then the responsibility of the husband, how many here are husbands? Raise your hand. All of us, right? Okay. We got a great responsibility. We have the responsibility to be like Christ. We go in our local fellowship, we go to a nursing home every week and we have a Bible study with the people in the nursing home. People in their 70s, 80s, and
90s.
We're ministering to Catholics, we're ministering to believers, we're ministering to unbelievers. So we have these elderly ladies that come. They lived all their lives, they might have had alcoholic husbands. They probably had husbands that didn't really treat them very well because a lot of them didn't know Christ. So we're talking to the ladies and to the men about divine order, that the husband's the head of the wife. Now, they're not understanding the word, so they're sitting there and they're just... And I said, wives. I said, the Bible teaches wives you're to submit to your husbands. Very little response. But I said, wives, listen to this. I said, husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for
it.
And I said to all these elderly ladies, I said, women, I go, would you have liked to have your husbands love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for him?
Or her. ngamaong pagtulon.
All of a sudden, the smile came in their faces. Because they had not that living reality. Now I'm sharing this with you because we are all responsible, each one of us. To love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself
for.
Can any one of us here right now say we have done 100% good job of that in our lives? No. We got a long ways to go. You see, now why am I sharing this? Because God is wanting to teach you and I that our whole work or responsibility in the church is foremost is to attain that nature of Christ in us. The degree of us being marked as being faithful to what God is entrusting in our hands is in direct relationship to our relationship with God. Brother Lito, you want to be a good father, don't you? You want to be approved of God as being a good father, right? One day in the mid 90s, we were in India. And I was traveling with Brother Cecil and Brother Bert Asbell. At that time, Brother Cecil did not have his wife with him, or I did not have my wife with me, so we stayed in the same room together. And as we were talking, we'd get up in the middle of the night, sort of like last night, Mark. We were up. You know, our clocks are turned around, so we're still on 12 hours. Right now, we should be sleeping instead of awake. So, you know, you come, though it's daylight, to us, our internal clock says, go to sleep.
11 o'clock.
So when we were in India, it was like that. We had woke up like at 2 or 3 in the morning, and Brother DeCille and me were talking of the things of the Lord. And I'll always remember this till the day I go be with God. He said, Brother George, you can put your name to it. You could say Brother Edmar. Brother Sess would be telling you or Brother Lito. He said, on the day that you stand before the judgment seat of God, George, he was telling me, friend unto friend, he says, no one else is going to be standing there with you. He says, only you are going to stand before God and you have to give an answer how you treated your wife and how you treated your children. You have to give an answer. It was like someone throwing a gallon of or 5 liters of water, cold water on me. I never realized, you know, even though I knew I'd stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But it taught me something. You see, one of the problems we have, each one of us have, is that we have to fight the thought we're not so bad. You know, when I was a young man, I had a problem in the areas that most men have problems. And I had brethren, and I had Brother DeCille who prayed with me. And in a meeting one time, there was the need to pray for individuals who the devil was working in the area of sexuality. And And the brethren prayed for me. The ministry prayed for me. You were there, Brother Mark. I don't know why. You might have been there in that room up in Michigan. But anyway, it was 4 months later. We were at another conference. And Brother Duciel asked me, how are you overcoming? And he said, and I said, well, I believe I'm overcoming. He goes, wait a second. He goes, I won't ask you, I'll ask your wife. Do you know who knows us the best outside of God is our wives?
That's right.
That's why they are helpmeets to us. Co-workers. Right, sister? A co-worker. If you can find the key to your success in the church,
kung gusto ka nga makakaplag o kanang masakses ka yun,
your key is your relationship with your spouse. You know, a key to us being a good servant of God is being a good listener.
Ang imong pagkamalampuson, mahitabo lang kung ikaw maayog yung maminaw.
And being able to listen and be willing to receive the things that our spouses will say that are not too good about us.
O kung magmahimo kang magmadinawaton sa mga buta nga iisulti sa imong kapikas diyan mo.
Of course, none of you have that problem, do you?
Pero o magigmon mo mahitabo niya na, no?
Huh?
Not too much.
You don't have that problem.
Di mo so much, not too much.
I think we got a long way to go yet.
Yeah. Always listening to their wives.
Huh?
Always listening.
Are you always listening? Well, that's good. And I think God wants you to listen even more.
But after they listen to their wives, but after the wife speaking,
yeah. You know, we have a certain term that always says the truth hurts. The truth hurts. You know, one of the best things about the wives, they may not speak openly, but when you get home, and if you really, and sometimes the wives won't say what is really there unless you really want to know and you ask them. But if you're asking them, be ready to receive the truth.
You know,
because who loves you more than your wives? And you know, when they're close, they're the ones that can say, you know, and if you're a good listener, you are going to be able to change the things that are not so good.
O paminawa na ginatog maayo, mabag-o kita, makuha ginat, makabot nato ang kauswagan.
Okay, now we're going to get back to what I'm trying to share here this morning, is that God is wanting to make you a good elder. If you have a calling as a shepherd, He wants you to be a good shepherd.
Gusto gyud ang tinuwa sa Dios gidiay nato nga mahimo kita mga
if you are
magbalantay.
A good, if you are being called as a teacher of the word, He wants to make you a good teacher.
Kay kung gitawag man ta sa Dios nga usa ka magtutudlo, himoon ginato nga mahimo tan maayo nga magtutudlo.
It says in Ephesians 4 that He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men.
Diya sa kapitulo 4 sa Ephesians naghisgot diha nga
And some of you, God, and each one of you, God has placed certain gifts. Now, a gift is not something that it's different than fruits. A gift is something given, freely given. But it does not then put the mark that you are a good Christian.
Pero wala dito, gibutan ay kamayo na gyud kang Kristiano.
Brother Mark has the calling of a teacher. The teaching ministry upon this man. It's a gift God given him. But Mark, but Brother Mark also has to strive to be a righteous man. Because a man can get up and have a gift and teach, but doesn't mean that he's righteous. It's the same with the prophetic ministry. A person with a prophetic gift can prophesy and move in the Spirit of God. But that does not mean that he's a perfected man. But I want to tell you that righteousness is also tied with the gift. Because the more that you open yourself up and allow the Spirit of God to cleanse you, the more that gift then becomes maturing in your life. And God can use you then in a greater capacity as being a sanctified vessel instead of being an unrighteous vessel.
Oh, lang Dios mo mugamit gayud kanimo. Diya sa insektong paggamit makita diya ang imong pagkahantong kay kaysa usa ka tawo nga dili gayud mosunod sa pagkamatarong.
An excellent example of that is in your Old Testament with what was the prophet with the donkey?
He wasn't really a prophet.
He was
Balaam.
Balaam. He had a gift, but the gift was tainted by his desire to want money.
He was perverse.
In fact, he so told the king. Do you remember the story? You all are familiar with the story of Balaam. And how, oh yes, he was considered that he could hear from God, and he said, come and curse these people, the people of Israel. He says, I can only do what God tells me to do. But he had a desire for something else as well. Because he was entreated, he was going to be given much money if he did whatever that king wanted him to do, to curse the people of Israel. Oh no, I can't do that. He says, I can't do that. But they said, okay, please just do this. God told them, don't go with them. But he went back to God and he says, oh God, they keep asking me. And finally God says, then go if that's what you want. It's what he wanted, not what God wanted. But then God chastised him with the donkey that was riding, because God sent an angel to stand in the way, and he could not see the angel, but the donkey could. It's an excellent example. You know, if we don't get darkness out of us, we can follow the wrong way that Balaam followed. And it's recorded in the book of Revelation that there were some in the church that followed the false doctrines of Balaam. I think it was Peter that talked about it was Paul that talked in Acts that elders are to take the oversight of the church. Isn't it? And it says, or is it Peter? He says, not for filthy lucre. It was Peter that said that. Not for filthy lucre's sake.
Si Peter nag-ingon nga atong atimanon ang balay sa Dios dili sa
not for what we could get out of it. That's why, you know, when we follow the teachings of Jesus, he says, when you go into a place, take the lower seat.
Kung dito sa habol, dito sa una.
Don't take a higher seat where someone says, this isn't reserved for you. You know, it says that in due time, God will raise us up. I would rather receive a spiritual blessing than a monetary blessing. All of us have to fight the propensity of the devil to bring us to this lower realm where he can have rule over us. Our only desire, brethren, is to serve God. That should be our only desire. What do you want me to do, God? And as we have no other desire or motivation outside of doing the will of God, then it's God that begins to move and has a plan and a purpose for us.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that God has been speaking to me especially was the fact, what time is it?
We have plenty of time.
We have plenty of time. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. I think I've just gotten started.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. One of the things that God has been speaking to me and I've been studying is the book of Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel speaks about the temple of God. And if we could turn there, well, let's first look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says here, we can read 11 through 17, but especially 16 and 17.
11.
Okay, we could actually start in 9. That whole chapter is excellent.
3:9.
In verse 9 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Now, what are you all reading? Are you reading in the English or are you reading in your Filipino Bibles?
English.
Brother Lito, you're reading in your Philippine Bible? 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building." All right? "According to the grace of God which is given unto me," that's Paul speaking, "as a wise master builder." When he's talking wise master building, he's talking of his apostleship.
Did you want him to read it in Tobano?
Yeah, I could. Yeah. I tell you what, let me finish this. "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." 9 and 10, Brother Lito.
Kaya sa Diyos, kami isip kamagbubuhat o kamusap ang uma sa Diyos. Kamu mausap ang bari sa Diyos. Amen. Sumala sa iya, pinatak sa Diyos, ngayon ka na ko, magsama sa isa kabatid na magtutukod, ipahibutan ko ang patukuranan o laina ang magtukod sa bari din hinili. Apan kinanglan magmatlon ang tagtagsa o saon niya kinipagtukod.
Amen.
"For other foundation," verse 11, "for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest," or means made known. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So 11 and 12 and 13, Brother Lito.
"Kay wala na ilaing patukuranan ng ikapahiluna, dibisan kinsa gawas sa nagpahiluna na ngamahong si Jesus Cristo. May pipila ng gamit o pulawan, plata o bililhon ng mga bato, alang sa patukuranan, ang uban o gamit o kahoy, sagbot o nagamit. 13, o ang kalidad sa binuhatan sa taghatag sa makita o niya sa hadlaw nga kinibutiag ni Cristo, pinaagi sa kalayo. Sulayan kini diya sa kalayo o sa taon ang iyang matuod nga kalidad."
Okay, verse 14 and 15. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. It's talking about your labor in the Spirit. But if any man's work shall be burned, that's our own carnality and the works of our own hands, it says he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 14 and 15, Brother Lito.
Kung ang itukod sa tao diha sa patukuranan, dili masulog, madawat, makadawat siya ganti. Apan kung masulog kini, mahanaw kinigikan kaniya, apan maluwas siya sa mara nga nakalata siya sa kalayo.
So verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, Amen. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Right.
If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are.
Amen. 16 and 17, Brother Lito.
Sa walay duha-duha, nasayin kamo nga kamo templo sa Dios. Og nagpuyo niya kaninyo ang Espiritu sa Dios. Busa ang muguma sa templo sa Dios, naglagon sa Dios. Kay balaan ang templo sa Dios og kamo mao ang templo niya.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And starting in verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in 15 and 16. I'm going to read down to verse 20, but let me go. I'll do two verses at a time. And again, Brother Lito, you could read in your Bible. It says here in verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ?
Amen.
Shall I then take the members of Christ? Shall we take our bodies, Brother Raymer? And shall we make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh.
Okay, 15 and 16, Brother.
Nadal kamong ang inyong lawas, kabahin sa lawas si Kristo. Kuhaon kumaliay ang sa kabahin sa lawas si Kristo o himoon nga bahin sa lawas sa kababayin nagbaligya sa unod. Dili. Kung wala pa kamo masayod ng tao na nakikilawas sa babae na paligya sa iyong lumog, mahimong usa kalawas uban kaniya. Klaro kayo, ang ingon sa kasulatan, ang duha mahimong usa.
Right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
17 and 18. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, so flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Apan siya nga nahiusa sa Ginoo, nahiusa kaniya sa Espiritu. Busa, likay ang kalawayan, ang ubang mga sala na mahimo sa tao, walay kalabutan sa iyong lawas, apan ang tao na makilawason, makasala patok sa gagalingong lawas.
Praise the Lord. Verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you,
Amen.
Which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen.
Wala makamu masayod ng inyong lawas, mawang templo sa Espiritu Santo, na nagpuyo niya kaninyo. O gagihatag sa Diyos kaninyo. Dili kamo ang tag-iya sa inyong kagalingon, kung dili ang Diyos. Dipalit na kamo niya busa gamita ang inyong lawas alang sa himaya sa Diyos.
Amen. So we are bought with a price. What was the price we were bought with? Huh? The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ bought us, redeemed us from the power of Satan, delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Palit na kita sa kabili sa dugo ni Ginoong Hesus, aron mahawas kita gikan sa giharian sa kangit-ngit nato sa giharian sa kahayag.
So we are not our own.
Dili na kita mahitabiya sa kagalingon.
And when I talk to you this morning, I want to, if we can understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us,
sadyang musulti ko kaninyo o kung masabot nato kung sa gisulti sa Espiritu Santo din ka nato.
Whether we have gifts, whether we have callings, whether we have elections,
o kung naba kita ay gasa, naba kita ay mga tinawag ba kita o
It doesn't make us special or gives us a place that we have an office or a position in God. We just have responsibilities. When we are with our brethren, we're all brethren. Whether someone just received Christ the day before, they now become our brothers and sisters by the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether someone is young or old, we are just brothers and sisters. And so when we talk of the divine order of God, God has ministry and He has elders.
Mga gulang-gulang na.
And mothers of the church.
Diha sa balay sa Dios.
Mothers of the church.
Mga nanay.
That means that the women, as they grow in God, they have a responsibility just like men do.
Sama sa mga nanay, kung mahamtong na sila sa ilang pagtuo, makahin mag-iapos sa mga bulatong sama sa mga lalaki.
It doesn't mean that women are any less than men in God.
Wala magpasabot niya ang babae para lamang kayo sa lalaki.
Paul teaches that in the book of Galatians. He says, in Christ, or in the body of Christ, there's no male nor female. There's no nationality involved, no color of skin, no rich or poor. You understand? If we can get that understanding, us here, if people that are beginning to understand the truth, Brother Rudy, we can cast off all of that mindset of leadership or oversight that is not God. And someone will say, well, Brother George, if you do away with all of that, then where is the order? The order is just like the family unit. That's why in a local fellowship, you should have elders that take the oversight of the meeting. Someone's got to do it. Let me share this with you. You remember me telling you when I was a young Christian, I wanted to do God's will, but I, in my own nature and character, I did not want to do any responsibility. But the Spirit of God was working with us, Brother Edmar. And we had a fellowship, and we had several brethren that God says you're to be an elder. All right. Okay. Not a pastor. Not a boss. But someone who has a responsibility if they're showing they want God and they want to be diligent. So one day God sends a teacher, ministry of the teacher, Brother Tommy Cook, to Dubuque to minister. And we're all there. But I'm not, I don't want to get up and, you know, I'm not getting up to open the meeting. And some of the elders weren't getting up to open the meeting. And this brother, Bill Goodson, who traveled with Brother Tommy Cook, he moved in the ministry of music. Time's ticking away. And I'm standing at the door, hoping not to be noticed. And he says, Brother George. He goes, are you going to start the meeting? I go, who, me? And he goes, well, someone has to do it. Get up and greet the people at the start of the meeting. It's a responsibility. And so God puts and sees, when God says, okay, now in the book of Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy. And how does the word go? He says, Timothy, when you go into cities, find faithful men, ordain them as elders. And then we read the qualifications of the elder in the book of Timothy and in Titus. You can't make anybody an elder, can you? An elder must be what? First, the husband of one wife. Huh? You can't make someone an elder just because you like them. You can't make them an elder just because they might be a good teacher or they got money. But he says here, where are we at, Mark? It's in 1 Timothy chapter
3.
1 Timothy chapter 3:1.
3:1.
It says, if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. What does it say in your Philippine Bible as far as the bishop?
Obispo.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Bishop.
Did they have the wrong translation?
You have the wrong translation, as we have the wrong translation. We all got the wrong translation. We're talking to the King James. You know, the King James Bible is one of the best English translations you have. But even your King James translations has mistranslations or mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Obispo.
But there is a Philippine version of the case. Pangulo.
Yes, and what does that mean?
Bishop or head?
Leader.
Head. Again, what head do we have? What held? No!
I have NIV. NIV said, here is a trustworthy saying, if anyone sets his heart in being an overseer.
Okay, yeah. Overseer. You know, that's more of a correct rendition than this, but I'm going to tell you something also. You need to get rid of your NIV. Do you know why? Because the NIV has many mistakes. They have many mistakes.
Omissions.
Yeah, it omits your... It takes out... You'll be reading and all of a sudden you'll see verse 22, then you go, wait, where's 23? Where's verse 24? It's not there. They take it out because the translator said it shouldn't be there and it's a lie. All right, we got a King James for you today, Brother Nelson.
Like so, Matthew 23, verse 14.
Huh?
Matthew 23, verse 14.
Yeah, it's not there, is it?
Yeah.
We don't have any available Bible.
Yeah. Well, that's why we brought King James, and we have some. Mark's going to be sharing more this afternoon about the Word of God this afternoon. Because the Bible teaches us in Timothy, we should rightly divide the Word of truth. Amen? So we're talking about elders. What is this understanding about an elder? It's not a position. It's not a place. Oh, you know, you could say I'm not a pastor, but you could still act like a pastor by using the name pastor. I'm a shepherd. Well, shepherd's the same thing as pastor. If you have that in your heart, you see the thing that God is saying to the people of God in this hour is, you know, because you can go along and you could say, oh yeah, we don't believe in the pastor system. But you can act like a pastor even though you're not using the name pastor. The truth of the matter is that God wants to give you the nature of Christ.
Amen.
Jesus says, I came not to be served, but I came to serve.
Amen.
Amen? And that's, if you can move in the nature of Christ, it goes a long way in your walk with God.
Amen.
You know, the biggest thing, it's not by what we say, it's by the Spirit that we live in. Mm. All right, that makes a difference. You can come up and you can preach the Word of God all day long, but if your spirit's wrong, you're totally wrong. Mm. And what you're ministering, you're not ministering what you're reading, you're ministering the Spirit that you come in. All right?
Amen.
That is why it is so necessary for us to not only have an understanding of what the true Word is saying in this hour, but the understanding to bring our temple under the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So now we are talking about this qualifications as an elder. It says,
balik ka sa atong hisgutan nga qualification.
The qualifications of an elder says that if you desire this responsibility, it's a good work to desire to want to serve God. All right? But then it gives the qualifications in verse 2. One who has oversight, an overseer, is just one who has a responsibility. Brother Lito, you as a husband and a father, don't you have a responsibility over your household?
Right?
Sister, don't you have certain oversight over your children?
Huh?
In fact, you know, some of the best shepherds are women. Come on, man. Who takes care of your children better? Have you changed more diapers than your wife? Huh? Really, have you changed more diapers than your wife? Have you made more meals for your children than your wife? They're always shepherding and taking care. It's the spirit of the shepherd. You understand? Again, these endowments, it's not a title or a position. It's a responsibility. So if we translate that responsibility in meetings or in gatherings, there's some of you here that have a shepherd's ministry to want the best for the people of God. That's a good thing. You're willing to lay down your life for others. Amen. And so the Bible also teaches us that an elder should be apt to teach, have the ability to teach the Word of God. Now, I am not gifted like Brother Mark in teaching the Word. I mean, to take the Word and to divide it and to bring the truth out, there's something of a gifting of a teacher that God doesn't give everybody. But I have certain gifts that God says that I must give to the people of God. Not that I can't teach, because I have taught, but it's not my gifting. In our local fellowship, as an elder, I have a responsibility to feed the people of God. If there were not the responsibility of elders, who would feed the people of God? So we're learning what is God's order, but we have to break the mindset of the religious system that has been given to the people of God erroneously for thousands of years. You know, a wise elder will be more apt to listen than to speak all the time.
Ang mga maalaman ko ng mga magtutudlo sa Dios, maayo pong maminaw aron nga makapanudlo pa sila dugang pagkamaayo.
Ha? The Bible teaches us that even a fool, when he's silent, seemeth to be wise. You know, I have used that for myself many times. You know, a lot of thoughts come to me, but not all the thoughts are of God. In fact, I have sat under ministry for many, many years, and truthfully, my understanding is really, it was through those years of ministry that I began to understand the Spirit of God. We made a mistake in India one time. We were going, just like we come here to the Philippines for many years, and we would teach elders the truth of the Word of God. And we made a mistake one time because we met a group of young men. And we were working with them, and we asked the one man if he would help distribute the money through the various fellowships throughout India. But something happened in that man. He became like their bishop. He had a desire for God, but he also had a desire for power and for ministry. And something came over that man. And we had to repent before God because we did not realize when we gave him certain responsibilities that the devil took him. It's not good to give someone responsibilities if they're not yet ready for them. It says, the Bible teaches us, don't put what lift up a novice, someone who's inexperienced. Lest he fall into the snare of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So we're talking about this elder or bishop or overseer, strike bishop, but overseer or elder, he should be the husband of one wife. Vigilant. Which is all watching. What else would you say vigilant, Mark? Diligent. Diligent in the things of God. Sober. Of good behavior.
Maayong pamatasan.
Given to hospitality.
Maayong mutagad, matinagdanom.
Huh? It says, given to hospitality, apt to teach.
Maayong manudlo, maayong matudlo.
The elder needs to be responsible to help feed the flock of God. Not given to wine.
Dili pala hubog.
No striker.
Striker.
Getting angry. Hey, any of you have to fight anger? Any of you?
Yes.
Huh? What's that?
Fight anger.
Yeah, do you have you overcome anger already? Completely? Have you completely overcome anger yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. We got to work at it.
And you say,
angry. Yeah. All right. That's why you have to get down on your knees, Brother Rudy, Brother Nelson. We have to. No, I'm telling you, if I came up and says, I get frustrated. But sometimes I'm not angry. I just get frustrated. No, if you start to feel that rising up, and you got to say, God, get rid of it. Get rid of it out of my life. You understand?
Somebody, I have an experience about that day in Tabloid Church.
Yes.
Somebody go to church and want to hit me.
Yes.
And then I said, Lord, help me.
Yes.
I only bow my head.
Yes.
But watching, but my eyes is twisting, watching.
But you can feel anger. Yeah. Well, the Bible, see, we're to be like Christ. See, so an elder, you can't, if you have somebody, you say, oh well, let's make this brother here an elder. Well, does he got the qualifications? Have you seen that he has grown to a certain maturity? You know, if he hasn't, you can't put someone in an elder unless he has certain qualifications. Not that he's perfect, because none of us are perfect yet. But there is the need for us to strive not to be, that these things should be predominant in our lives. All right, it says here, not greedy of filthy lucre. We talked of it. Not because we're going to get a natural reward back. But patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, and having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now verse 5 says, for if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So not everybody can be an elder.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So these are just some things that we need to look at. And it's not just trying to set down a doctrine, but having an understanding of what the Spirit is saying, how we as elders ought to be.
Dili man ingon nga usa ka bagong doktrina ang atong gipangita kundi
what do we got for time, brother Mark?
Sa pagmando sa Dios kung lagi yung conviction ba?
What time are we breaking? About noon. We're breaking in 10 minutes time. Boy, go see how they're doing. I want to see how much time we have left, because there's one other thought that I wanted to share with you all that I believe is very important. I don't know if we have time to go into it all, but what God is saying to us here today is, you know, if we want to be great in God's kingdom, we need to be servant of all. All right? But what I mean by that is, each one of us has to understand the reality of the place in which we can serve God is by getting our temple in order. Cleansing our temple by the Spirit of God of everything that offends in the kingdom. Our thought pattern, our desires, our will, our emotions must come under the Spirit of God.
Aron nga mahimo ta mga epektibo gyud nga mga nag-alagad sa tong buhi nga Dios nga kinahanglan gyud nga dili sa tong kinabuhi patalinghogan ginato ang espiritu sa Dios nga unsay iyang mga pagpadayag una kunya kining mao mga butang nga magasingabot kini sa tong kinabuhi nga daghan man kay mga pangunahon nga mo salmot apan ato yung kinahanglan ta og pagpugong sa tong kagalingon aron nga diha sa pagatiman mahimo tang mga epektibo gayud og magmauswagon.
We're not called to be elders, we're called to be sons of God.
Amen.
Ang tinuod ani wala gid ta gitawag og mahimo tang mga elders kun dili nga mahimo gid kita nga moabot gid kita sa pagkaanak sa Dios.
You see, the whole purpose of God's calling is us to fulfill sonship in God.
Aron nga mahimo gid dili lang kay kuta sa mahimong elders kun dili moabot kita sa pagkaanak gayud niya.
John chapter 1 says, John, if we go to the Gospel of John chapter 1, John chapter 1 in verse 12. It says, but as many as received him. How many of you have received Christ as your Savior and alive?
Amen.
Amen? But as many as received him, to them gave he power.
Amen.
Who? Who's he? God. Gave who? To those who believe, power to what? To become the sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even to them that believed on his name. Now, chapter 8 of Romans, if we go to Romans, and it's chapter 8, where it says that those that are led by the Spirit of God, yes, and where is that? It says in verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Now, if you look in the Greek word for sons, how much time we have, Brother Mark?
Oh, probably 15.
15 minutes, that's good.
I'll
all right.
I'll let you know.
All right, good. John chapter 1, it says, to those who believe on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word is technos, right?
So, well, the actual word there, I think, is children.
Children, that's what I mean. Isn't technos children?
Yeah.
So in John chapter 1, it says, to those that believe or receive the blood, come into God. He says he's given you power to become the children of God, sons of God. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, or the Greek word is
houlios,
which means mature sons of God. All right? God is wanting us not to move in our own strengths or abilities, not to move by any other spirit, but by the Spirit of God. To them gave, it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. So when we follow the leading of the Spirit, we walk in that place where the Spirit then God is moving and not ourselves.
Kita di ay kung kita ginihan sa Espiritu Santo o Espiritu sa Ginoo unya nahimutang masinugtanon gitawag kita di lamang mga anak ra kundi mga hamtong ng mga anak sa Dios.
Now I want to share with you something the Lord gave me. It was approximately in May of last year when we were at, in London for a conference.
Dito sa London atong Mayo 2012.
Now there is a gifting in dreams that the Lord gave me many years ago. Sometime I ought to share with you that experience. But dreams can come from three places. Now dreams can come from the devil, right? Any of you ever have a dream from the devil? Any of you have ever had dreams from the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I've had dreams from the devil. Bad dreams. Mm-hmm. Dreams that the devil wants to torment me with.
Yes.
The Bible also teaches that dreams can come from a multitude of business. Whatever we're thinking or involving ourselves, we can have dreams because of what we are doing.
What we are thinking.
But the Bible also teaches us that dreams come from God.
Yeah.
As in the book of Job, it says that in the nighttime when men sleep, God comes and reveals himself in a dream, and a man awakes and knows that it wasn't from him, but it shows that it comes from God alone. All right?
God speaks unto us by dreams.
Yes. So I want to share with you this dream I had because I believe it's relating to you and I. That God gave special instructions in the dream. Alright, this dream had three parts. The first part of the dream, I found myself where I was being lifted up high in the air. I was being lifted up high in the air and over this residential area in which I lived. And I found myself where the Spirit of God was so near to me and speaking to me, it was as if the Spirit of God was my own mind speaking. And when I wanted to be lifted up, the Spirit would lift me up. When I wanted to go to the right, the Spirit of God led me to the right. And as I looked down upon this neighborhood, the Spirit of God said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "I want to go down there into that residential area to see what was going on." And immediately as I thought that, I went down and I watched people as they lived. I would see a family, a husband and a wife. I saw the husband over in one area of the house and the wife and their daughter over in another area. And I was seeing their conversations, which were not good. The husband or the daughter would talk about the husband while he was away. The man wasn't really doing things he should be doing. And even though the neighborhood was pretty on the outside, the actions of the people were not right on the inside. And I started to feel, "Oh, I want to get out of this place." I wanted to rise in the Spirit. So I walked down to the end of this lane and came. There were some garbage dumps and there was a fence. And I stepped on top of the fence ready to say, "Lord, lift me up." But the girl that I saw was watching me, and she saw me start to lift up and she wanted to inquire more about God. I reached out to her. I said, "Give me your hand." And as she took my hand, we began to lift up. Only to a certain degree, because she could only go so far. But she could sense the life of the Spirit coming to her. That wanted to deliver her. I left go of her hand. I don't know what happened to her, but I believe she was beginning to be changed. And I began to be lifted up. As soon as I said, "Lord, I want to be lifted up," I began to be lifted up. I cannot put into words the feeling that I had in that dream of being so close with the Spirit of God. It became me. Brother Edmar, totally, the Spirit of God came into my being, where it was no longer me, but in relationship. But I couldn't, it was like I was still me, but not me. That part of the dream ended. And the second part of the dream started. In this dream, or in this second part, I remember the Spirit of God leading me into my prayer closet. And as I was in my prayer closet communing with God, God began to speak to me about His Word. When I came out of the prayer closet, I took my Bible. I began to search the Word of God of what the Spirit of God was saying to me. And as I searched the Word, the Lord said, "This is the food for your people." So then I took the word that I heard by the Spirit of God and I began to give it out. And in that dream, the Lord spoke, "This is the success for your meetings." Because the food then that I gave the people became life to the people. And the Lord says, "This is where you will have much success in the midst of meetings." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, sometimes dreams are very explanatory. Some dreams need interpretation. But some dreams are what you see or what you hear is what you get. And what I'm saying to you in these dreams is that God wants us to get into our prayer closets, know Him by the Spirit of God. But because the Spirit of God wants to flow through us. If we want to do the service of God, the only way we can do service of God is being led of His Spirit. It says in Jeremiah, it says, "Draw near to God, and what will He do? He will draw near to us." If you take it in the converse, the opposite, or is the opposite, converse?
Yeah. Yeah.
Opposite. If you don't draw near to God, God won't draw near to you. You know what the error of the whole church system is? The devil has deceived the church system because they've given themselves to another spirit than the Spirit of God. Now, what do we need to do? I believe God's Spirit is teaching us to put our trust in Him. Not everyone is a teacher like Brother Mark. Not everyone moves in the prophetic ministry like others. Brother Bert. Not others move in shepherd ministry or in the fivefold ministry. Someone says an elder can even be a janitor. If a man just loves God and serves Him and being the most diligent he can, he has the qualifications because he wants God. But our walk, but no matter what our calling and election is, no matter what our gifting is, it's totally on the obedience of Christ. The obedience to the Spirit of God. And the blessing that God will do and the anointing that God will bring in the meetings is in direct relationship to our willingness to submit to the Spirit of God.
aron makig-uban kanato.
Allow God to change us.
Itugot nga ang Dios mag-usab sa atong kinatibuk-an.
And allow God to flow through us.
Aron nga siya adunay higayon nga mo.
I want you to pray about those two dreams. There's one part, there's a third part. I told you it was three parts, the dream.
Maundango sulugit kabahin.
In this third part, I was found myself in a hardware store. And I saw this woman buying materials to build a chicken coop. I was related to this woman. And I wondered, why are you doing this? You didn't talk to me about this. But she wanted to build a chicken coop.
And
it disturbed me greatly. And I woke up from those three dreams. Now I understood the first dream. I understood the second dream. But God used in those meetings that year before the person who gave the interpretation of the third dream. He said that the interpretation is very easy. He said the woman is the church. And God does not want the church to build a chicken coop. The church should be eagle saints. You don't see chickens flying up in the sky, do you?
Huh?
No. They're to the earth. They're low. They're in a low realm. Isaiah, what is it? Isaiah 43. What does it say? And they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength.
And they shall mount their wings.
As what?
Like eagles.
Like eagles.
Yeah.
So, are you chickens?
No.
Or are you to be eagles?
Yes. Amen.
But the church is in a chicken state. And they're happy there. They're surviving on eating bugs and little bits of seed. When we're to be eagles and flying up into the heavens. Yeah. Brother, no, honestly, it's funny, and it is.
Yeah.
But it's sad to say it's the state of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And God is crying out to us, one, that we repent for being like chickens and just be eating low life. God is saying, get into your prayer closets. There is a place that God is bringing His church up in a high realm.
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit with Him. And that when we speak, God is able to move upon our commandments.
So, buda kuno kayo nga makadungog ka nga tagon lang sa mga samas, mga manok. Apan ang Diyos, nagapahimutan kayo, kanato, iyon nga mga abila.
So I want you to pray about that dream because I believe it is from God to His people. And what we are to do as the people of God to get into our prayer closets to become one with Him. Because if we move in whatever responsibility or ministry we have, it should come by the Spirit of God. And when we obey the Spirit and seek understanding in the Word, it was like the dream said, it becomes food for the people. Living breath from heaven. We're just vessels. If we hear from God, it flows to us. And as we allow God to flow out of us, it becomes life. And if you go to Ezekiel 47, I didn't even get there, Brother Mark. Ezekiel 47, it speaks about the waters coming out from the threshold of God. Rivers of life. For the healing of the nations. And when you read it, go to Ezekiel 47 and read 47. It talks about the man that has a measuring line, and he measured the 1,000. You remember it, Rudy? And first it was to the ankles, then to the knees, another 1,000 to the loins, and then another 1,000 to where waters that you had to swim in, you could not walk in. This is the rising up in God, not only in salvation, not only in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but in the obedience to the Spirit of God leads us. Which takes us again back to Romans chapter 8. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. God's wanting to raise His people up. So I encourage you. I'm going to finish, but I want to encourage you to ask God what I'm sharing with you this morning and what it relates to you and to I. You know, when I read it, I say, God, I need to know you more. I am not satisfied. I need to come into a greater relationship with you. Amen. Amen.